Hey everybody, what's going on? Rob Cesternino back with our Survivor 43 exit interview special. And this is one of my favorite podcasts of the year because we're going to talk with the people that made it to the finale of Survivor 43, including the brand new Survivor winner, Gabler. And then we'll speak with Cassidy, Owen, Jesse, and Carla in that order here today. Now, that the nice thing about this in 2022 is that we do video exit interviews now, so you can watch the full video of my conversation with all of these survivors. That's up on our YouTube channel, as well as last night's recap of the Survivor Know-It-Alls, trying to make sense of everything that we saw in the Survivor 43 finale. Plus today on Thursday, I'm going to speak with the winner of Survivor 42 to hear what she thinks about everything that happened in this wild Survivor finale. So be on the lookout for that and our feedback show with Brian Scally. That's all going to be hitting your Survivor podcast feed. That's at robisawebsite.com/subscribe. We appreciate all the support we've gotten from our amazing listeners all season long. Thanks for being there with us. So let's get into this nice treat that we have here today. Interviews with the final five Survivor contestants, starting with my interview with Gabler. Hey, I am here with the winner of Survivor 43. It's the assassin hiding in plain sight. Gabler, congratulations on the win. How does it feel today?
Hey, Rob, feeling great, man. Thanks for having me on your show. I love your podcast, by the way.
Oh, Gabler, thank you so much. This was such an interesting end to the season. And I think that really for a lot of us, like commentators who have been doing this for a while, hiding in plain sight, we did not see this coming. I am so interested to know from you, how much of this was by design? Because we hear you talking a lot about this, and how much of it was that the game just kind of went in your direction?
So, you know, I'd say it was definitely by design. The game goes in all directions. So the fact that it was my direction was, you know, I played a role in navigating the rudder, make sure my boat was going the right way. I mean, there's, you know, it's like almost like downhill skiing through trees is how you're playing Survivor. And, you know, you got to turn, you got to duck, you got to do this stuff because every 12 hours, it is a whole new game. So to be able to flex through that, I think it was my relationships and my social game was very strong. I was in alliances with almost everybody out there at one point or another.
You know, you talked about the Allie Gabler, and it just seems like that this was like one of the all time legendary, like halftime adjustments that anybody has ever made. Like, how conscious were you about, okay, I am actually going to change the way I am playing the game after this point?
You know, at the beginning game for me was a little clumsy. I was playing, you know, with a little bit too Rupert-like, where I was, you know, and, you know, Rupert was a great player. He's one of my favorite players, but Rupert couldn't get deeper in the game because he was, you know, trying to play this very honest game. And you have to work in a little Sandra in there. So Allie Gabler is somewhere spawned between Rupert and Sandra.
Pearl Island's dream team, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So when I got about, you know, when the game was moving at the merge point, when we divided up into teams, excuse me. And then, you know, I'd been waiting on that information for 10 days to drop that information with Ellie. And, you know, when you have a very fertile group of new people all coming together and, you know, Ryan threw out, you know, hey, why don't we just stay together as a seven and vote everybody out? But nobody really got on board with that. I was in between the sandwich bites and it looked random, like I was just dropping a grenade out there. But as you know, from being a fan, if you put somebody's name out early when there's a merge, things happen and it sticks. And then that allowed me to also start to collaborate with Bessie and Coco outside of Baca, because Baca had fractured. We're all aware of that now, but we had fractured. And while I did maintain some of those alliances to go deep, deep to the game, even the final three with Owen, I was looking for new alliances and new paths forward. And the way to get to the end is not to have one plan or two, but to have multiple and to be flexible and versatile so that you can adjust if the person you're planning to send home wins immunity. If the person, you know, you send home, all of a sudden the numbers swing a different way. So to be able to move like that I don't think a lot of that may have been shown as much on the season, but that was definitely going on.
I thought you had a really interesting final tribal council, and I thought that you were able to, like, once again, navigate through some big personalities that were sitting on the jury. And I wanted to know how much of it was by design, that the things that you were able to say that were important to your game were not necessarily things that didn't necessarily line up with how the players on the jury saw the game.
Sure. Well, you know, part of me getting to that final three, you know, part of my game was to be underestimated. I mean, it's okay. It's part of the Alec Gabler game, right? Like when I did a big splash and I was the driving force behind Ellie's vote out. And then the next day I won the individual immunity challenge and me and Cody broke the record. You know, that was pretty high Alec Gabler out of the water splash. And then you've got to manage your threat level by going back down. And what I did was, you know, just kind of, you know, I just needed to go under and stay off the radar for a few votes and make sure I could just go through there and vote out threats. And, you know, Sandra had, her strategy was anybody but me anytime. My strategy was any threat, anytime they're available. So when at the last minute, you know, Jesse and Cody wanted to go and vote out Noel, even though I love Noel, we all love Noel. We love everybody on the show, right? It's all a bunch of good characters on. But I was like, it wasn't the timing I was planning on with her, but now is the time. We have a shot at her. And, you know, who knows if we're going to get that shot again.
Yeah.
And bam. So does that give you a little bit of insight into what was going on in my head during the game?
I think so. Gabler, I also think it was interesting that, you know, in talking to players like Noel and talking to players like Cody, that I got the sense that they felt like, hey, you know, Gabler's a good guy to have around because that if anything's going down, yeah, he'll tell me. And you didn't ultimately. Was that something that you tried to cultivate with all these players of like, hey, you know me, like I can't keep a secret. I'll let you know if something's going on. But then ultimately you did.
Well, right. You know, to be able to, you know, I was a bit of a farmer in the back half of the game, planting seeds left and right. There was even a clip that was released by Survivor, an extra that shows me and Cass and Jesse sitting by the fire. And while we're sitting there talking, I was just like, you know, Jesse, you played an awesome game. We have three very different games, the three of us here. But, you know, if you sit next to Cody, you know, are you going to be able to distinguish yourself from his game? And then Cass, what about you with Carla? Anyways, I'm just going to go on a beach walk now and let those seeds germinate. And they did. And there was a lot of seeding going on and a lot of things going on. And these players came up with their, I'm not taking any strategy off of Jesse or anybody, but I was doing a lot of that. And I did have access to a lot of information because I was in alliances with multiple people. And no, everybody thought I was just a ship looking for safe harbor, but I was actually, I paid harbor fees in multiple harbors. I got to figure out where I wanted to drop anchor or pull up anchor at will.
Yeah. Okay. So, I'm so curious about, you know, you made history with this decision that you've made to donate the winnings to veterans causes. I'm so interested because that we didn't hear you talk about this in the preseason. I know you've talked about how that you had it in your head. So at what point did you sort of like go official with this? And did the producers know up until we see that confessional in the finale?
You know, I kept it under my hat pretty long into the game. Excuse me. I kept it under my hat pretty long into the game. Before the game, though, I had a roommate from college who was a veteran and my wife, we were kicking around some ideas. We're like, you know, what if we win? You know, what if we donated to charity? You know, haha. And then we were like, that's a good idea. That should happen. You know, we could do big things with this. And I know a lot of people from high school or even, you know, some of our patients that were serving the Vietnam War, Korean War, or World War II, like Lester Tenney, and who had, you know, they served us and they came back, you know, needing help. And there's a lot of people not getting that help right now. And I'm like, you know, what greater opportunity to serve those who served us is then to do this and to do good with that money. You know, I had the trip of a lifetime, the adventure of a lifetime out there. It was awesome. I did a lot of things with Gabler, you know, went deep into me, all that kind of stuff. But to be able to come back and do this, it was pretty powerful. And I kept it under my hat because I didn't want it to be, I didn't want anybody to vote for me because I was going to donate the money to charity. Mm-hmm. I wanted to win based on merit, based on, you know, the game I had played, and 7 out of 8 jury folks agreed with that gameplay. And then afterwards, to deliver that surprise to everyone, which you saw last night, was awesome because, you know, I got to, it would have been lame, I think, to lead with that. And in retrospect, I think it very much would have been. So I'm glad I did not. I'm glad I kept it quiet, and I'm glad the producers did too. And, you know, it wasn't until I was deep in the game that I even brought it up to the producers. So this was under my hat until the last, you know, 20% of the season, maybe.
Okay. So I know everybody is always like very much looking at like their edit and how much, you know, they got in terms of the story of the season. I'm curious to know from you, how did you feel like the storytellers did with telling your story in the season?
You know, overall, I thought, you know, the producers of Survivor are master storytellers, mm-hmm. and they told a fascinating story in 43. Now, would I have liked to have seen maybe a little bit more strategy talk that Gabler was doing on the beach? Sure. I mean, every morning I would get up and me and Cody would walk down the beach. We would do our beach, you know, Tai Chi out there and go for a beach swim. We would talk strategy for about 5 minutes before everybody would be looking at us. And it was a quick conversation, but we would get our ducks in a row early and then we'd get our ducks in a row late. And there were things that I would do throughout the show that showed that I was playing a bigger game than was shown on the edit. That said, I love the story. I love what they did. I thought it was a generous edit all around for pretty much everybody. Mm-hmm. And I enjoyed it. And, you know, I mean, sure, they could have shown a couple of things, but in order for Survivor to truly tell the story, you need 3-hour episodes every week. There's so much going on, right? So you played it, you know mm-hmm. as well as anybody. There's so much out there.
You talked about the ride or die at the final tribal council, which I feel like that we did not see a lot of during the show. How big of a deal was the ride or die? And can you just tell us who was in ride or die?
Ride or die was, I think, the most important alliance of the season. It was Cody, Jesse, and myself.
Okay.
And it was Cody and Jesse before the merge, and then I came in at the merge. So in the three of us shared information because I was in an alliance with the Baca boys, with the Coco crew, with, you know, a couple other folks running around. And then they were too. But it was interesting because no one knew the three of us were, you know, mm-hmm. you know, you saw our cool Viking handshake or whatever we Cody did, cool guy. But that was a real important alliance. And we would go around, Jesse would go get information. And then I would circle around behind him. And no one knew we were working together. So I would get information. And if it was different information, we would go back and process it. If it was the same information, then we would then, you know, corroborate it and make decisions based on that. So there was ride or die was a very important alliance in the game of Survivor 43.
Was there any hesitation on your part to go along with the plan to vote out Jesse or Cody at the final six?
Yeah. Yeah, there was. Cody's a strong player. I enjoy playing with him. And I would have, you know, if he would have played his idol and Carla would have gone home, it may have been a little bit of a different story. I still had ways to get to three, mm-hmm. even if that happened. But, you know, the game I was playing, Rob, you know, Sandra's game was anybody but me anytime. I was playing any threat anytime they are available.
Okay.
And when Jesse came to me and we were going to vote out, I think it was Cass or someone. And then he's like, you know, we got to vote out Noelle. Now's the time. And, you know, as much as I didn't want to vote her out right then, because we all love Noelle, but I'm like, yeah, we have to do this right now. She's available right now. We need to take her out. We'll mm-hmm. get somebody later. And that's how we were. We were very precise with who we were targeting. And it would change, but the three of us would sit down, talk about it for 10 minutes max, and we would be down the trails. And then we wouldn't even look at each other. We'd go into tribal council. We wouldn't even look at each other. And it would be like, now it's time to vote. Gabler, you're next. And I would go up and do exactly what we had talked about. Cody, Jesse, and then we would have other factions, either the Coco, the Bacchus, whoever, voting a different way. So we were able to swing, pick one off here, pick one off here, right down the middle. It was cool.
I want to just talk about Ellie real quick. Of course, you had such an interesting relationship. You know, I think that she really did go out on a limb and try to protect you at that first vote. And you mentioned about that was a mistake, the way that you had handled that first vote. But ultimately, we know everything that happened. Have you and Ellie had any chance to talk after the season?
We have. I talked to her for about an hour a couple of days ago. She's a wonderful person. I mean, I personally love her. It was never personal. And she loves me too. We just, in the game, you know, once you go to tribal council, and Rob, you know this as well as anybody, the game becomes real. And the Kumbaya tribe of, we're on a beach, we're having fun together, blah, blah, blah. All of a sudden, paranoia goes in. And even though Baca went on a win streak of like five in a row, we were always waiting for the other shoe to drop and therefore having backup plans. And, you know, Ellie and Janine kind of went together, me and Sammy, Owen in the middle. And, you know, it kind of was what it was. And I had to get her out. If I didn't get her out, you know, I didn't want her on the jury necessarily after the relationship falling apart. And I also, you know, what better time to make a merge move than at the merge feast and drop that grenade out there and then get new people to work with and make it happen and win together. It was big. That was a big turning point for me, was that merge feast. And then, of course, winning the immunity the next day was good too.
No doubt. Gabler, I know you got to run. You got so many of these interviews to do. But again, congratulations. That I thought it was a very fun season. And I feel like that this is the kind of thing that we're going to be just like going back over the next couple of weeks and seeing more and more clues of how this all happened. But Gabler, again, congratulations. And again, I want to commend you for what you're doing with the prize, because it's really remarkable. 43 seasons in, nobody, you know, has ever done this before. So really incredible stuff.
Survivor's the gift that keeps on giving, man. I love it. And thank you, Rob. I appreciate you, brother.
Okay. Gabler, enjoy it. Okay. All right. Take care. Bye.
Will do, sir. Bye-bye.
All right, everybody, there you have it. Gabler, the winner of Survivor 43. Really, such a out of nowhere winner. The likes of, like, I think that we're going to need the whole offseason to process exactly just like how big of a surprise this was. But great to talk to the Survivor winner here this morning. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk with Cassidy, a person a lot of people want to hear from today, to hear what she thinks about all of this. We'll have that for you right after this. All right, let's get right back into it. We've got the runner-up from Survivor 43. My interview with Cassidy is up next. Hey, Cassidy, what's going on? Rob Sestrino, congratulations on making it to the end. I feel like that you have so much support for your game this season. How are you feeling seeing how many people are so upset that you didn't win?
Yeah, I mean, it's a mixed emotion, because obviously, like, I'm so grateful for the support, and that, I mean, I believed I deserved to win. I mean, I'm not taking away from Gabriel. I think we all deserve to win in our own ways. And I'm really proud of the game that I played. And so for people to see that and be supportive of that, like, it means the world to me. And it makes me feel like I'm not crazy for believing in myself at the end there, you know, because mm-hmm. for a little while I was like, was it all in my head that like I had a great shot? And so to see that other people see that means a lot. It's also bittersweet too, because I mean, it's just hard to get to the end there and just not secure the bag.
Believe me, I know.
Very end, but
yeah. Well, Cassidy, you know, we broke down this a million different ways this week leading up to it. And I really thought in all of the scenarios where I'm like, okay, well, if Cassidy sits with Owen and Gabler, I think this is a Cassidy win. This is like a Cassidy's win condition. Get to the end with Owen and Gabler. Ultimately, we know that it wasn't. Did you feel like that it was a case that the jury ended up being more pro-Gabler than we initially thought? Or was it the jury ultimately anti-you?
I think I think it might have been a little bit of both. I think I underestimated how the bonds that Gabler had formed with other people. I mean, I really liked him on the island and we had a good relationship, but at the same time, like I didn't perceive him as a huge threat. And I think most of the people like towards the end didn't. And so I think, I don't know if it was his final tribal performance or if I really just had an inaccurate perception. I mean, that was obviously a fatal mistake for me, but I also think that there was a little bit of bitterness towards me as well. And I'm not sure what I could have done. I think, you know, jury management might've been something I could have worked on a little bit. And one of the things that, you know, maybe I have regrets in, but I really like, I left it all out there and I'm not sure what else I could have done like at that point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You talked about in the finale about the idea of potentially, why should I have to make the fire against Jesse? And it's something that, you know, I agree with you. I feel like, hey, why do I have to win immunity twice? I already punched my ticket to get to the final three. Why do I have to do it again? Did you feel like that there were people on the jury that really wanted you to do that?
Yeah. And I think part of it was the fact that people were upset that Jesse didn't get to the end because he was obviously the favorite to win. And I think, I mean, that's why I had to make the right decision to make sure that I didn't have to sit next to him because I knew that if I did, I was toast. Right. And so making that decision and the fire made choosing Gabler to go up against him, who was the best at fire, that was critical for me. And I think like Jesse got it in his head that like, because obviously that was his best shot of getting to the end. Of course, he's going to push that I should make fire against him because he had a better chance of beating me. But to go, I feel like to go back into the jury and then still for that to be like a point of contention that they talked about, it just seemed ridiculous because like I played the game and I deserved to be there. And so for people to call that into question, like as if I had played like an Underwood type of game, it just didn't seem fair. And I was like, is this really what we're boiling it down to is one fire making competition. Like it just didn't, I don't know. I feel like it was less about like the fact that they thought I needed that to win and more about the fact that like, that's how Jesse went out and that's who they wanted to vote for. And so now it's like, I almost got blame for, you know what I mean? Not for getting him out instead of getting credit for it.
Can you talk a little bit about some of the decisions that you were making in the game that ultimately helped you get to the final three that we did not get to see a lot of in the show?
Yeah, I mean, every decision that I made in the game and every vote that I cast was intentional. It was never just do this to get by. Like, I never voted for anybody who wasn't good for my game to get out. And I'm really proud that I can say that and that I was never blindsided at tribal. And that I say I was on the right side of every vote, that's because I knew where all the votes were going every time. And the Janine vote, I was not in the dark that everybody was voting for Janine.
Yeah.
But and if she put up on the dark,
Owen voted for Ryan.
Yeah, exactly. And so, yeah, yes, he did. And so I voted for, I mean, because if Janine was going to play her shot in the dark, which she considered, all the votes were for Janine. She didn't have a vote. Then it would have been a mad scramble. And I wanted to have control over who went home. And that's one of the reasons why I wrote Ryan Sam down. I also felt like, I was fighting for the women in the game and it was like really upsetting for them to come after her when I just didn't feel like it didn't make sense to me at the time. And I felt like maybe she would consider that when she got to the jury that like I was the only person, even like her closest allies voted her out. I was the only person who stood up for her at that moment. And then I also knew nobody would know it was me. Nobody could prove it. So that was like, no reason not to vote for him at that time. And then just every vote after that, I made sure to get out people who targeted me. Like I never forgot if somebody even mentioned my name once or wrote it down at tribal, like
the Cassidy they were curse.
Yeah. And that was intentional. Like that was just me tying up loose ends and making sure that like I got the people out before they could get me out. And so every time I voted, I used the power of my vote intentionally. And I'm proud that I was able to pull off so many moves again, you know, and that I could say that I never just went along with the vote just for the sake of getting through.
Did it come up at the final tribal council that you didn't vote Janine out? Because I know it was one of the things in the season where you were the one that voted for Ryan, but then Owen took the blame for it and made James think that he had voted the wrong way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I did talk about it at tribal, at the final tribal. I'm not sure. Honestly, I don't know if I ended up watching the whole thing, so I'm not sure if it was shown or not, but it looks like it wasn't. So yeah, I definitely talked about that. The problem was like I had told Owen about that move, like at final three, when we were out in the ocean hanging out, talking, and I told him about that. And then he ended up using that and like saying it first before I got the chance to. So it almost like took the fire out of it, because that was one of the moves that I wanted to claim. And then he just talked about it. And I was like, what the hell? Like, you know, like, I don't know. And I don't think he did that intentionally. I think for some reason he had brought it up to talk about something. Maybe it was like the way he had lied about the votes or whatever. But yeah, so the fire was kind of stolen from under me with that move. But I did talk about it.
So could you talk about your relationship with Carla after the season is over? That have you two talked through whatever differences had come up going into the end of the game?
We've talked here and there about it. We've been cordial, obviously, but we've talked here and there about it. I just don't know if I'm going to get the full honest truth from her. And so I've kind of accepted that. I think that she's going to stick with what she did and like stand by it, even if she has regrets or not, I don't know. But I think that no matter what, like, she's going to just stand by what she did. So I don't know if I'll ever get the full truth. But I mean, it's still hard. Like, it's painful, right? Like, that relationship with her is a sore spot a little bit. And I don't know if we fully made amends or anything. But yeah, I mean, we talked a little here and there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's only one day after the show. So I think that there's still time with all that. So, you know, I read some of your exit press this morning already. And I know you spoke with Dalton Ross, and you talked about how you had a very difficult time with processing all this following the Survivor after show. First off, how are you doing now that the episode has aired?
Yeah, I'm good. I mean, it's obviously it was tough to relive. Definitely had a good cry, but I'm okay. Like, I'm surrounded by my family, people that love me, and I'm getting a lot of support just in general from the Survivor community, which means a lot to me. And it helps me feel like a little more justified and my belief that I deserve to win and that I played a good game, and that, not to take away from anybody else deserving to win, I think we all did in our own ways, but it does give me a little bit of closure that like, I wasn't crazy for believing that I had a really good chance at the end there.
Yeah. Can you talk about your experience following the Survivor after show?
Oh, like on, like when we like actual on Ponderosa? Or?
Yes.
Yeah, it was, I mean, that's a difficult 24 hours to go through. I mean, you just came from this like crazy game and you're completely depleted. And then you had to go through this brutal final tribal, and then to lose, and then have to go back, and there's like music playing and lights and people are wanting to party. And I'm like, I just want to shower and cry. I'm not in the party mood, really. And then, you know, the next day, like we have to leave. So we're on a flight, you know, pretty much right after. So it was a lot. Like, I definitely had a panic attack. Like I, my body just was like so frazzled in every aspect. And it was like, it was just so much to take in at such a short amount of time.
Yeah.
And, so it was definitely a difficult day after.
Cassidy, I've wanted to know for so long, what was the issue with Gio and Ryan? What was the problem with those guys?
Honestly, I don't know. I had always wanted to work with Ryan because in my mind going into it, like one of my strategies was to make an alliance with the most athletic people on the tribe. Cause in the early game, a lot of those people are usually safe. But I just couldn't get through to him strategically. And I feel like we just didn't have the same plans. And I think like with the Gio thing, there were just multiple things that happened leading up to that vote that I think rubbed us both the wrong way with each other. And when you win so much and you're not going to tribal and you have a target in mind, which was Gio for us, like you start to look for all the reasons why they like to confirm that this is the right move. And like you start like noticing every little thing they're doing. And then on the other side, like Gio and Ryan are like, have my name. So they're like, you know, you just start really noticing everything about that person. You just want to get them out so bad because like, but when you keep winning, you're kind of stuck in this strategic loop of like trying to justify that this person should go. It's kind of weird. I don't know. There are definitely some instances that I could talk about, but I don't want to waste too much time.
Yeah, sure. How about that you won three immunity challenges, all in impressive fashion. So did you know that you were going to be an immunity threat, or did you surprise yourself?
Oh, I completely surprised myself. I mean, that's not to say that I didn't put the work in. I worked out very hard leading up to it, especially because I was supposed to be on 41 and I didn't get the chance, and I didn't want to waste the fact that I got the opportunity again. I'm so grateful. And so I worked out. Like, I would wake up at 5 a.m. and go to the gym for 2-3 hours every day for months.
Oh my God.
Put the work in, but I've never been the most athletic person. So I didn't really have anything to go off of in my life, like physically. And so I did surprise myself, and I'm incredibly proud of the way I performed. And I mean, to get even one was like enough for me, at least at the time, that's what I thought. But to win three, I mean, and just to be like a challenge piece, it's just wild to be able to say that. But I'm so proud to like see these parts of myself that I didn't know were in there come out.
Yeah. Well, Cassidy, you did a great job. I know what a big fan you are. And again, your story about, you know, that is how important Survivor is to your family also was really cool to see on the show. So congratulations for getting to the end, and you have an amazing Survivor sweater.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Thank you, Grandma. You got it for Christmas.
Okay. Hope you're doing great, and you know, hope we can chat some more sometime in the future, and good luck with everything today.
Thank you so much.
All right,
have a good day.
Bye.
Bye.
All right, everybody, there you have it. There is Cassidy, and great to talk with her. So many people tried to get her out of the game. It was the Cassidy curse, or is it the Clark curse? I wonder, for Cassidy Clark, or is that already taken? Anyway, so really interesting stuff there from Cassidy. You know, a lot of questions about ultimately why not Cassidy from the Final Tribal Council. We are also going to speak with a person who I guess kind of had mentioned he doesn't want to be a zero vote finalist, but you know, that's ultimately how it turned out for our third place finisher is here with us. So let's check in with my interview with Owen Knight. Here we are with the great Owen Knight. And while, okay, yeah, you have something in common with Fishback, also fellow third placer Owen Knight, okay?
There we go.
All right. Owen, how are you doing today?
Excellent. You know, it is what it is. Last night, I'd be lying if I said it was easy to watch, but this whole experience has been amazing. So I'm just happy to be talking with you.
Well, you really had such an interesting Survivor experience because you really got to, I mean, so many players that have, you know, just like high highs and low lows, but your experience was such a combination of the both.
Absolutely, it was. I mean, every range of emotion possible, even within just this last episode, just the frustration, the pride of winning, then the frustration again. It was such a roller coaster ride. And I know Marianne describes Survivor as such, but it really felt like that out there for me. And just every day in the span of just even a few hours, it could all flip on its head.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's talk about that Final Tribal Council, because I really was surprised that you ended up without votes at the Final Tribal
Thank
Council.
You. Me too.
Because I broke this down a million times over the course of the week. And I really
felt
like all hell breaks loose. And I really felt like that at the very least, I thought that you and Gabler were splitting a lot of the same votes that could have been going for you. I thought that Noelle and Janine and Sammy were all people that were, you know, very strong potential Owen votes. What do you feel like ended up happening? What did they want to hear from you?
You know, I've had conversations with people, and even during the after show, some people were saying, like, I went into final with no illusions of how my game went, right? Like I knew it was going to take some miracle effort. I knew my best chance of winning was winning at four and pulling an Underwood. Like, so I knew going in this scenario, it was a long shot. But like you said, those folks you mentioned, I thought Ryan maybe might respect the more physical aspects of my game. So maybe I could pull one or two of those four, but just watching Gabler make the jury laugh so much and appreciate his game, that's when I started kind of seeing things getting out of control. And then it ended up with me with my jaw on the floor. But I think I just had less, you know, if you think of like what a jury wants to see as like checking boxes, I think I just had less criteria available, less boxes available for me to check. And I think I did a good job, like being humble, being honest, like not trying to take credit where it wasn't due, but it just ultimately was not enough positives to be there on my resume.
Is there a move that you feel like in the post-merge part of the game that you feel like that you would have, you wish you would have gone in a different direction if you could have?
Yes. I think having watched it back, I think the easiest one to point out is trying to pull a 3-1-1-1 on Jesse at the Cody vote. I still stand by my decision at the time, just like thinking of how close Cody came on the bat puzzle and how not very good Jesse was at challenges and not knowing about the idol, like knowing what I knew then, I don't blame myself for making that decision. But obviously after seeing how it's all played out and seeing the edit, I think that that's a very clear, clear option there.
Can I just have you give us more insight into that? Because I feel like that this is something, this was not in the show. This is not something that that we know about, right?
Know about what?
Oh, the 3-1-1-1.
Oh no, that was not something that crossed my mind at all out there.
Oh, that you wish you would, you wish, wish you would have done that. Okay.
I wish I would have done a 3-1-1.
Got it.
And once Jesse told me he was going to play the idol for me and do all that, I could have gone to Gabler and Cassidy and said, all right, let's put our 3 votes on Jesse, get him out of here.
But when we talked about stuff like that in terms of like your game that, you know, I thought that I could understand why that you couldn't get more ambitious with some of the things because, you know, you had had so many things not go your way that I felt like that you weren't really at a point where you were able to build some momentum off of making, you know, getting votes going your way.
Absolutely. And I think I'm giving myself like some grace in that and not being a little bit more proactive strategically, just because in the moment, just the feelings out there, so much of my concern was just surviving. Mm-hmm. So like my main objective was to just not have it be me. And then for so long, that was just where my head was at. Just survive, move to the next round, just make it. And then I didn't have as much time or luxury to really try to get a coalition together. And that might sound like an excuse, but just where my headspace was at, it was hard to kind of see that next level when I was just so concerned with just being there at all.
So I feel like that you had a, you know, a finger on the pulse of a lot of like the personalities out there that in our watching of the season, it seemed like that Jesse was the bigger threat than Cody. And we had wondered why, well, you know, could Jesse have beaten Cody had he sat in the final three with him? That do you feel like that Cody would have actually won if he got to the final three with Jesse?
That's really hard to say. Cause I mean, I think Jesse did a phenomenal job of maintaining his threat level. And I think actually him not having a vote at the very first merge tribal when Ellie went home, I think that really helped him kind of just lie low. Mm-hmm. And literally he was just like, I don't have a vote. I'm just here. Like, I hope it's not me. Like he really, I think that kind of set the stage for him as being like to that vote round, he was irrelevant in a sense. So I think that helped him kind of maintain a low profile. And Cody was much more of a loud personality. He had more of a presence on the beach, and other folks have talked about Jesse is, you know, he's a little more quiet. He's not the most loud personality in the room, but I still think he might've been able to engineer a way to still win. He's a tremendous player, but I don't know. That's a really tough one. That would have been a very interesting final tribal.
So it seemed like that you and Cassidy really started to foster a close relationship, especially once Noel went out of the game. It seemed like that Cassidy was turning into maybe your closest ally. Is that the case?
Yeah, I would say so. Well, her or Gabler. So after I spiked my bag on the ground, after Noel went home and Gabler said, I have a plan to get us to the final three, that final three included Cassidy. And she was someone that I did feel
that was a mystery to us. We didn't know who the third person was.
I really, that was an interesting, interesting way to frame all of that. Yeah. But I always felt good about Cassidy personally, like even at the merge, like we had some good conversations, like sitting on the beach, watching the sunrise, like I could tell she was someone that I would want to be friends with in real life. And I got along with, but I think we could both kind of see we were on opposite sides of the field and we just weren't able to work together, but I was not trying to target her. Like I really felt like we could get on the same page eventually. So I felt very good about just our partnership moving forward and the way we could strategize. And I thought her and Gabler would be my best chance towards the end for sure.
Yeah. And then you know, I've read some of your interviews, like with Dalton Ross. I know that this was, you were very surprised that Gabler was the winner of the season. Yeah.
Shocked. Absolutely shocked. I really thought Cassidy had it. And I mean, I know like he got the jury laughing and stuff, but like the final tribal was probably close to 3 hours. And I will say, like, he made some very good points. And I think in the show, they did a great job of highlighting like how those nuggets came through, but those nuggets were hidden amongst a lot of word salad. And it was a very interesting journey over the course of those couple hours. And so I wasn't sure how the jury would receive that, but I guess they were able to kind of suss it out eventually. But no shade to Gabler whatsoever. I'm very much in the camp that whoever wins their season deserves to win. Like he gave the jury what they wanted to hear, but that's still befuddled me.
Mm-hmm. You also told Dalton Ross that you did not care for the Survivor after show. I believe the quote was F the after show.
I still feel that way this morning. You know, it's just who wants to see that? Who wants me stuffing a whole pizza in my mouth and chugging champagne?
Well, now you're pandering. Now you're pandering.
No, I agree with you. I agree with you on a lot of stuff when I listen, but like, in that moment, my main concern was to not look super sad. Mm-hmm. I really, because we had only seen 41. Yeah. I had seen Xander and Deshaun just look like they had just been like, you know, watched a train wreck or something. And that's, it was so hard to not be sad there. And then I was fine talking to Jeff and talking about me. But as soon as we got to the section where he's talking to everybody else about stuff that happened 2 weeks ago, just let me shower. Yeah. Let me shower.
Mm-hmm. I hear you, but why can't you be sad? I'm sad when I lose fantasy football.
I think I reserve every right to be sad, but I just don't think that makes for super compelling television in that moment. But
yeah,
that's just one guy's opinion.
Okay, can you tell us, as somebody who, you know, of course, like you know how like this all works so well, what were some things that we really were either getting wrong or not even realizing about the season in terms of like how people are talking about it?
That's a good question. I mean, the discourse has been really funny because so much of what I've seen has literally, so many people were saying Gabler had 0% chance to win the game.
Yeah.
And honestly, that's how I felt out there.
Yeah. I wonder if maybe we saw a version of the season that was probably like from the perspective of like, this had to have been a shocking result to the season.
Yes, it was. And I think our season will go down. I think it will age better on a binge. I think the way the choices that were made in the storytelling was very interesting because so much of our season was unexpected, right? Like Jesse whipping out Janine's idol. Like I wasn't sure when they were going to show that in the show, because again, that was a jaw dropping moment for me. The result of Final Tribal, that made my jaw hit the floor. Like so much was surprising. And I think they did a fun job of weaving together the narrative, but I think the viewers almost had like a really first person view of what it was like just being someone on the cast there. I wish more relationships had gotten to be shown. I think a lot of our season hinged on relationships, particularly with the way Gabler's game panned out and the way his final tribal went. Like I wish more of that was shown rather than told. But otherwise I think it was an interesting ride, a very unique season.
Okay. One thing that I've been waiting to ask you with the whole knowledge is power situation, how much were you acting in terms of setting up the blind side of James, or was that all just, you know, genuine emotion in terms of how you conducted your business with James that day?
It was a mix of both for sure. My plan going in, I thought about this on the ride back from the challenge, like, okay, original plan, we could have just stolen one of the votes, done a 2-2 and 2-2-1 and gotten one of them out, maybe flush Carla's idol, but her winning immunity obviously changed that. So my initial plan was to play dead and then make them think I was going to go home. And then what ended up happening, before I could even talk to Sammy and Noel, I went to the water well, James followed me. And part of the conversation that didn't air was that he actually suggested that I go look for the hidden immunity idol. Mm-hmm. And that was really where I just snapped. And I tried removing myself from the situation. He ended up following me. We're great now. We're on good terms. But that, I'd be lying if I said that was all like ooh, my machinations are working. I'm just acting here. I was genuinely so pissed off. But I was still able to link up with Noel and Sammy and figure it out.
The thing that I never understood from the season was that you hung to that I did not vote correctly on the Janine vote. Like, I voted for Ryan when Cassidy voted for Ryan. But you stuck to, I've never seen anybody did like, I voted wrong. You have to believe me.
Commitment to the bit. No,
why? I think what was the purpose of that?
In the moment, I think my main concern, I didn't want to blow up Sammy and Gabler's spot. They were the ones who told me right before Tribal that it was all going on Janine. And once the second Ryan vote came up, I was just like, okay, this could be a chance to make James think that he still has the upper hand, that he still has me in this position where he's yanking me around. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I have no idea what the hell I was thinking.
you clung to it for so long.
I clung to it, but I think I wanted to, there was some element of like thinking I wanted to make him feel like he had me where he wanted me. And not wanting to blow up the games of the Baca Boys, I guess.
Well, I've got a million more questions for you, Owen. Yes. Hope that we can chat some more down the road.
I would love
but,
that.
But I know you have to run right now. So again, really fun season to get to watch you play. And yeah, hope you're doing great. And just, you know, all the best outside Survivor.
Thanks, Rob. All right. Hope we get to talk again soon.
All right. Take care, buddy.
All right.
Bye.
Take care, man. Bye.
Love getting to talk with Owen. Love Owen's passion. Of course, you know, when things didn't go his way, we knew it in the season. And of course, you know, I think that's really the embodiment of being a fan. And so really hope that Owen is, you know, really happy with the experience that he got to go have on the show. I am really happy because we have two great exit interviews coming your way. We are still have to talk to Jesse and Carla. We've got that here coming up for you after one more break here when we return right after this. All right, here we are with the guy who looked like was going to be the person to take this. Ultimately, has a very emotional exit from the game. Jesse, how are you doing today?
I'm good, man. I'm good. You know, it's amazing to be talking to my neighbor. You know? Last night was a lot of emotions. It was incredible to be in the finale. It was incredible to be in the final five and to watch all of that back. But you know, I knew how it ended, right? And so it was a little bit of bittersweet, but you know, I wouldn't trade it for the world.
Yeah, no doubt. You know, it was you know, such a like you know, emotional exit from the game. You know, it was you know, just experiencing it as not even you. It was, you know, really, I used the word gutted last night to, you know, watch how it all played out. I know you were so worried about, like, you know, you were doing it for your family, and what's the support been like from the family now watching it with you?
It's been good, man. It's been good. You know, my wife had a couple tears last night watching it back. I told her everything as soon as I landed at LAX. I'm like, this is what happened. Oh my God, I'm crying.
Yeah.
So she knew, but I think watching it and seeing me out there and seeing me like giving my all and just fighting, right? Fighting, was a lot. But you know, we're in a good spot. We, you know, I have all the support I need. Mm-hmm. We're all good.
You know, we never really got from you in the show that just, like on a scale of 1 to 10, how capable are you at making the fire?
Oh God. well, if Gabler's a 10, then, I'm okay at fire.
You're honestly. Okay. All right.
I think I'm a 7. You know, I practice.
That's great. Yeah. So do you feel like
anybody else other than Gabler who freaking clotheslined me?
Yeah.
You've been okay.
So it was such a fun discussion over the course of this week about the incredible move that you made against Cody, about that, you know, just the execution of it was, you know, just chef's kiss. Amazing to see. But ultimately, you don't win the game. Do you feel like any second thoughts about the move you made at the time that you did it?
No, I don't have any regrets about it. You know, my goal was if I somehow slipped into final tribal, if I somehow slipped into that final three, that I wanted no questions asked. I wanted it to like be known that like I played the best yeah. game. Like my goal was like, I want this to be the shortest final tribal council ever. And people have called me arrogant. It's not me being arrogant. That was my goal. I wanted to, you know, play the best game out there. And Cody would have left questions asked if he was sitting with me in the final three.
Yeah.
We had all the same moves. We would have tripped over each other. We would have been trying to claim credit for things that, you know, we both did. And I did not want that. So I have no regrets at all.
Okay. I want to go back to the final five vote because I thought that maybe you could have done things differently with the hidden immunity idol in terms of that. Could you have potentially played that a different way in terms of maybe telling Carla, hey, get the votes on me and I'll write down Cassidy's name?
Yeah, no. I mean, she was trying to get the votes on me.
Yeah.
You know what? I think Carla was the person I was most terrified by.
Okay.
Honestly, I think she was the only person I felt like, God, she could match me strategically.
Yes.
And there were multiple times I would be sitting at camp and I'd just be like looking around, sort of assessing like people's interactions. And then I'd look over and Carla's also doing the same thing.
Right.
And so I was terrified by Carla. the whole day leading up to Final Five, I was thinking like, man, like, should I play this idol for Carla? Because the heat doesn't feel like it's on me. Mm-hmm. Like it doesn't feel like it's on me. I feel like it's like leaning towards Carla. And you know, Carla's got a busted ankle. She's got a broken finger. Mm-hmm. Probably the person that like I'd have a best shot at beating in sort of an immunity challenge or fire. But I couldn't, like my gut was telling me like, don't play it for Carla. And I think that I made the right decision considering the fact that she started writing Cass's name and then midway through.
Right. So yeah. Well, you know, you two seem like that you were both having like these like parallel journeys in the season. And, you know, we really only got to see like the one point where you talked about like you have a really good relationship with Carla, but we never really got to see a lot of you two really, you know, working together strategically so much on the show up until you say like, hey, this is you saved her. You didn't even tell her that you were going to save her. So just how close were you and Carla in the game?
I think that's the one thing that like, I mean, so much of my game got shown, so much of what I was doing got shown. So I have like no complaints about anything. Mm-hmm. I think the one thing that didn't really get shown was my relationship with Carla, like how deep it was. As much as I was trying to trip her up at the end and make her, make her look a little bit dumb, as I said on the show, which I didn't remember what you said. Me and Carla connected immediately just from our backgrounds. Just growing up and then like finding out that we were at Berkeley at the same time.
Yeah. Yes. Never came up on the show, but that was something that there was a lot of speculation about that you two both had the experience at Berkeley that were there like mutuals that you two had?
You know what? We've tried to map it. We've tried to figure out, did we have any mutuals? And I don't think we did, mm-hmm. but we were there at the same time. And I just think it was just the fact that like we grew up, she knew things about like, you know, my background, sort of like, you know, being in a gang and things like that, that like other people could not relate to. And it was just, you know, immediate. As soon as I met Carla, we were, you know, it was beyond the game.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So I know that you are basically the person that I know that's, you know, knows the most about like surveying groups of people and, you know, knowing why people like, you know, a group of people might feel a certain way. So you were out there in that jury. And I know there's been a lot of people questioning of like, what? I can't believe that they went 7 out of 8 for Gabler. So why do 7 out of 8 Americans feel like that Gabler is the winner of the season?
I can't speak to the entire jury. All I can speak for is my decision. But for me, I had 24 hours to process other people's games. You know, I had spent the entire game thinking about me, thinking about my game, my path to the end. And then I get gutted in fire and I have 24 hours to think about, oh my God, who am I going to pick between Gabler, Cass and Owen? And I think it was it was up in the air. Honestly, I don't think anybody like was thinking like who to pick. But like the questions that I asked were like, you know, name a time that you persuaded people to, you know, vote a certain way. And Gabler gave me the Yelly vote. And I was like, you know what? That's right. Because he freaking spearheaded that. He was dead set on that. So, and it happened. And I think Cass, she threw out the Ryan vote, which I don't think it sat well with me or Cody, because what I don't think they showed in the episode, Ryan's vote out. But what we ended up settling on was that if James goes, then Ryan goes. Mm-hmm. And that's the only scenario.
Owen should have taken credit for that. Wait, he was involved with taking out James
at the other tribal.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think like that sort of didn't sit well, but also I think the Cody vote, one thing I want to make sure I say is like at the Cody vote, Cass and Owen both knew that I had Cody's idol in my bag.
Yeah.
All I had to do was tell Gabler. I didn't tell Gabler that I had Cody's idol. All I had to do was tell him like, I know you love this ride or die alliance that we have, but if Cody gets to the end, he's a huge threat. He might sweep us. He might take us out. He might win the game. And Gabler looked at me, and I remember this conversation. He looked at me. He's like, you know what? I didn't come here to play for second. I didn't come here to play for third. I didn't come here to play for fourth, fifth. He's like, I want to win this game. And he's like, so even if Cody plays his idol tonight, I'm voting for Cody. And so I think that stuck with me, just the fact that like he had some agency, he could speak to having agency in the game, and the fact that he was willing to like leave it all out there. That was the sort of game that I was playing.
So for Owen and Cassidy, that they could have blown up the plan and they didn't. That was a little bit of a demerit for you.
You know what? I think so. Like that's like, this is me like running it back in my head. Mm-hmm. Right. But the fact that they did not flip it on me.
Yeah.
I don't think that factored in. I'll be honest. I don't think that factored into my final vote.
Okay, so, you know, in talking with some of the players from the game, that it seemed like that maybe your profile might have seemed bigger to us who were watching the TV show than it was to players, especially like in the first part of the merge. Were you intentionally trying to like downplay what you were doing and sort of like letting Cody be more out in front as sort of like the person who was being like seen a lot more by the other players?
Oh, Cody was my social shield, right?
Yeah.
He was like my social shield. But I don't think I was ever, he was my social shield, but I don't think, it's crazy because I felt like I was in the middle of the entire game.
Mm-hmm.
Like with the Justine vote out, like that, like very beginning, my first tribal, I was in the middle. And then like, I kept being in these positions of like, I get to sort of dictate things. Mm-hmm. And it's crazy.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody ever saw it because like, I'm not like, in a group of people, I'm not the person that's like, what's up, live it. Mm-hmm. So I think that, you know, I flew under the radar.
Okay. So when Dwight gives you the idol back, was at that point in the game, was Dwight already going home, or did you change anything around to make sure that Dwight was going out of that tribal council?
You know what? I would love to say that like I hard pivoted to Dwight at that point, but the ball was rolling in Dwight's direction. And I think that, you know, he just got nervous and I was someone he trusted and he probably shouldn't have trusted me. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And he just handed me the idol. So it was already rolling in his direction.
Okay. And then last thing, you and Cody, after everything that happened, you guys are totally good now after all this?
Yeah, no, he punched me in the face as soon as I got to Ponderosa and I had to like wear makeup for the final tribal. But like, other than that, we're good.
Okay. All right. And you're joking, just so that, you know, sometimes the internet doesn't always get sarcasm. Okay. All right. So, all right. I got a million more questions to ask you. I hope we can, you know, chat again soon. And hopefully, you know, I'll see you around.
Yeah, of course. Okay. We're neighbors, man.
Yeah. All right. Well, Jesse, congratulations again. Incredible job this season. You made it very fun to watch, and all the best outside the show.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
All right. Take care. All right, everybody. There you have it. There's Jesse. You know, so much of this season was Jesse's story. I only got like a million more questions for Jesse. Hopefully we get to do that sometime down the road. We've got one more exit interview here for you today. That's going to be my conversation with Carla. Now, I will say regrettably, we do not have the best internet in the world for Carla here today. We're going to clean that up a little bit, but there's going to be some points where that in order to hear what she's saying, we're just going to leave in the trying to get some answers with some not ideal internet. I do hope that we can talk with Carla at another point down the road where we have an even better connection. But in the meantime, here's my conversation with Carla. All right, we are here with Carla. Carla, how are you?
Rob, I'm so good. Nice to see you, man.
Nice to see you too. So Carla, I know you had this very like big send-off from the game. How are you feeling after now we've seen the full season of Survivor 43?
Yeah, I feel relieved. I was ready for it. You know what? It's actually, you either get sent home, you know, you either get blindsided or you leave the game with agency. It felt good to leave the game with agency because I don't know how I would have reacted if I would have went home not knowing. And so for me, I was very fortunate to kind of have that send off.
Yeah. And of course, you know, you played in this really incredible game. You had one last move up your sleeve, it seemed like, where you wrote down Jesse's name. Could you just tell us what you were hoping for there and how that would play out?
Yes. Jesse was alluding to a little bit about like, I'll play the idol for you, if anything. That was his dilemma.
Yeah.
Play the idol for you. And so I was like, well, let's get Cass out now, right? And then I kind of was throwing, I was like, I don't know what got into me. And I was like, I think his idol's fake. You know, let's, and so I tried to go to Cass. I tried to go to Gabler and I was like, let's try to get him out. But they didn't want to make a move with me. And so for me, I was like, well, if he's going to play for me, if, what if I go up there and I tell him, I'm writing down Cass's name because you could clearly see me write CA, yes, cross that off. And I was like, you know what? Let's actually write Jesse's name. He has a perfect game. It's a seal. It's a kiss. It's kind of like, here's your perfect game. I love you so much, bro. But I'm going to be the only one to write your name down. And also, what if he played it for me? Mm-hmm. That would have been iconic. So that was kind of my mentality going into that.
Yeah, it would have been wild to ultimately see it go out that way. Can you just talk about, we saw so many injuries for you. And could you just tell us what you were dealing with out there?
Yes. Okay. You saw the finger, not broken, stitches, bad. And then you saw, don't drink coffee out there. Don't drink coffee out there. Dehydration mixed with hyperventilation, which is where my hands locked.
Yeah.
And the same challenge, I was coming down the net, twisted the ankle there. Same ankle, I twisted up on the puzzle. So I twisted it twice. And then I busted my knee at that final immunity challenge with the five. I was all over the place. But you know what? At the end of the day, I didn't give up. I still tried and I was limping my way mm-hmm. around the beach
yeah.
trying to do what I could.
You know, we didn't really get to see in the episode your reaction to the Cody blindside. Because on the one hand, you know, you were blindsided in that what you thought was going to happen didn't happen. But on the other hand, you were saved that, you know, basically like Jesse kind of saved your life in the game because Cody was coming for you. But on the other hand, then also you had your idol flushed and we didn't get to see like emotionally, like how did you react to all of that?
Yeah, that was my lowest point.
Well, I think good news, bad news. Yeah.
It was all bad news. I mean, I was freaking crying.
But you didn't get voted out.
I didn't get voted out. And you could see my hesitancy, right? I was kind of like, do I play my idol? Do I not? Because what the heck is going on? And I waited till the last minute and I should have waited longer because I knew something was up. But that was the lowest I ever felt. And I remember, though, that night we get to the new island and I said, Carla, you got this. You feel bad now, but you can pull through this and do what you can. And that kind of gave me the fuel to kind of, you know, get that in, the advantage and just like, I'm not giving up. I'm here to play, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it was a really exciting moment in the episode when you get the advantage and then are able to, you know, take it out from underneath Owen. Can you just talk about what that was like in the real time to know that that you got it right a second ahead of him?
So scary because, listen, I'm hobbling around the beach and I'm like, I just felt really bad because it was right there and he was there first. And I was just like, whoop, got it. And then I ran away. Essentially, I walked away because, you know, he was like very frustrated. And so I let him have, you know, I'm not that I let him, right? But like I moved away. He let his frustration out. But for me, I was like, I needed this. This is what I needed right now, right? Everyone's gunning for me. I feel it. You see, you feel it in the air. Yeah. Like it's not, you know, I knew. And so for me, I was like, this is the lifeline I need. And unfortunately, I wasn't able to pull through.
Mm-hmm. So Carla, that we heard about Ride or Die last night, that were you aware of Ride or Die in the game? And then, and if so, were you working with them?
Ride or Die as in the three or the two?
I guess the two that became the three.
So in a way, I mean, I was working with Jesse and Cody. The moment that we merged on Tabaka, I know Cody came up to me and he said, I want to take Dwight and Noel out, Dwight and or Noel. And Jesse said the same. And I said, don't worry, I got the Coco troops. Let's make a move. And I kind of knew that they were very close because Jesse would always say, like, let me check in with Cody. The Gabler and Cody and Jesse thing took me by surprise. Mm-hmm. I did not know that happened. And that was news to me at that final tribal council.
Because we saw in the episode when, on the Noel vote, when Gabler comes to you and it's like, hey, we got to do something about Jesse and Cody. And it looked like, okay, oh, is Carla going to take out Jesse here at this point after Gabler goes back and tells the plan? Just, I mean, were there any conversations about trying to stop those guys or not from your perspective? Because you were also working with them.
Exactly. That's the thing is that you have three people. We didn't know about Jesse's idol, right? But I knew Cody had an idol, the suspicions that I had an idol. So you kind of have three people who are in a way working together and in a way they're the majority, right? So it's kind of like, you don't need to make a big move yet because the three of us are just like sitting really pretty with our idols. So why not take them all the way to the end and try to see what we could do? And it wasn't until, you know, the very end, we kind of see that kind of work out the way that it did. But aside from Gabler telling me that, I think that was the only time. And then aside from me pitching it to the other four, those were the only times I really heard Jesse and Cody's name ever being thrown out, which was surprising.
Okay. We saw you give a very glowing vote for Gabler at the final tribal council. Can you talk a little bit about your decision to vote for Gabler?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So as a jury, we all came together and we really just talked about everyone's gameplay. We were very shocked when Jesse went home or, you know, when he got beat because we were like, this was our champion. What the heck just happened?
Yeah.
And that was the hardest part is like you have three people who played under the radar games, very similar games. Right. And so how do you differentiate each person? And in a society that we built where we were just afraid to make moves, what move did you make regardless? Right. Like, what did you try to set up for yourself? Following a vote is one thing. Having someone bring you into a vote is one thing, because anyone can do that, right? And anyone can follow a vote. But it's like, what did you set up yourself to distinguish yourself from the other two? And can you own it and claim it? And that was what it was for me. I just wanted to see someone take risks. And we saw that with Gabler when it came to Ellie. I mean, he threw that out the moment we landed on Baca Beach. He was like gunning for Ellie. And then when we saw that at the merge feast and we were like, bro, chill out, like we're trying to eat. And then we saw that at the fire, right? Like when we wanted to see people fight to get Jesse out, that I was fighting to get Jesse out, right? So who could claim that? So that's what it was. That's honestly what it was.
We saw that you had the conversation with Cassidy about how if you went to the jury, you know, that you didn't think that Cassidy was going to have a good shot. Did you feel like that was that a bluff to try to get her to keep you into the game?
I'm going to say what I have to say to stay in this game. And so hopefully I was like, if they can, I mean, they knew Jesse was a threat. You kind of could see it, but I wanted them to show it. Right. So I said what I had to say. I don't know. I was trying really hard. I call it my Daenerys moment. I was going to light this entire place on fire. Because why not? It's the last move I have. So let's make it a freaking fireworks. And so that's what happened. And I thought she would probably like vote for Jesse or like make something happen. And it didn't happen.
Mm-hmm. Now, in terms of your game, do you feel like that there was any things that you were doing out there that we didn't get to see in the edit?
Yeah, I think that a lot of the, especially post-merge, a lot of the decision-making, you know, like it's hard because I feel like everyone believes that Jesse was their friend. Jesse was everyone's friend. But the one thing that I wish people saw was just how closely, not closely, but I'll say that like everyone thought that Jesse was their friend and Jesse was on their side because that's the game that he played. And so for me, it was the decision-making that we made when we rallied together to get Dwight out early on with the Janine vote. No one saw that, and I wish people would have seen that. So there was a lot more that I contributed to when it came to the merge.
Okay, and then as far as your idol that you had throughout the almost entire game, was there ever a point that you came close to using the idol in any other ways before it ultimately got flushed last week?
No, mm-hmm. I was never going to use that idol on anyone else but me. If anything, it was the Noelle vote, but that Gabler on my side, I knew I didn't need to play the idol, which is why I didn't play it, because he was the swing vote in my eyes. It's hard because you're comfortable. You're comfortable at the top, mm-hmm. my idol. I worked for it.
Yeah. Okay. Well, Carla, thank you for making some time to talk. I know you got to run. Would love to talk to you again one day and we have even better internet.
Yes, I know. I'm so sorry.
That's okay. Look, it is what it is, Carla. Okay. All the best outside the show, okay?
Thank you. Have a good day.
All right, everybody. There you have it. There's Carla. So many more questions for Carla. Hopefully we can get those from her at some point down the road. Okay, I got a lot of questions for Marianne Oketch. That's the next podcast that I have coming up. So I'm going to wrap this up. I want to thank Scott St. Pierre for turning this podcast around and getting it out to you so quickly. So thank you, Scott, for all that. Thank you all for listening to our exit interview special. Still, we've got a lot more Survivor coming your way from me and Marianne later on today. We're also going to have our feedback show with Brian Scally, plus the rest of the Survivor lineup coming your way. That's in our Survivor podcast feed. That's at robinsonwebsite.com/Survivor feed. Thank you so much for joining us. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.